Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
News Radio 930 WBEN.
First, we're going to honor the fact that we are 63rd on the Talkers Heavy 100 list.
But you know why we'll never get a proclamation?
Because no one cares, Tom.
That's right.
No one cares.
That's right. Well, we care.
It's Tom Bowerly.
David, do you think I could charm my way through a prolapse rectum?
Wow, I am
with
speechless.
Apologies to Al Roker.
And David Bellavia.
I don't even know how it happened or what goes into it, but I will say that, yes, Bowerly and Bellavia, 63rd on the heavy hitters list, just came out. Do you know who says they're proud to be 63rd? A really good golfer. You know, like a PGA Tour golfer is like, hey, man, I finished 63rd in the Masters. You're like, wow, look at you, Mr. Golfing Guy.
It's Bowerly and Bellavia.
How
they sound like dolphins.
On News Radio 930 WBEN.
Now, it is 9 minutes after 4 at News Radio 930 WBEN, Bowerly and Bellavia. And, David, you know what might be getting old?
A lot.
But really. Service animals.
You know what? Here's the disclaimer, right? The disclaimer is there are folks that are ruining it for people who really need service animals. It's always the people that take it too far that have to have a service Great Dane. I mean, come on. You're bringing a Great Dane on a flight?
We want to hear from people who have service animals. And David, you know, when I was growing up, and when you were growing up, you know, the only service animal there really was a seeing eye dog, a very expensive and very well-trained animal that is basically a guide and the eyes for people who cannot see, the blind. It was seeing eye dogs. But now, David, we have taken service animals to the next level. Emotional support. Is anybody in our audience, does anybody think that this whole concept of the service animal has gone too far? Maybe you've had to sit on a plane next to somebody with a service hedgehog. And I think the greatest clash of rights ever would be for somebody to call a peanut a service food and be forced to sit next to somebody with a peanut allergy. You've got conflicting interests.
The whole thing is, again, you have folks that they treat, you know, they go to school, they get these animals that are trained, and then there's someone that just decides, I want to hang out and have a gerbil. It'd be cool to just be, I feel good when I have my gerbil with me. And they ruin it for everybody. And so now guess what? Airlines have to make... They have to pass policies to say that a goat should never be a service animal? I mean, do we really need Delta to dictate to us that it's probably a bad idea to have a wombat as your service animal? I mean, come on. Llamas and alpacas, it's so stupid.
Like that time I brought the kangaroo with me to Florida. That didn't work out so well.
But I mean, look, you have your dog... Use your service animal. Everyone's happy. And if you see other people abusing service animals in the sense that they're just doing it because they find it ironic or they feel cool, I'm sorry, but I think they're the ones that should lead. They should clean up their own.
Maybe somebody can explain to us the whole idea of service animals. I mean, we get the seeing eye dog thing. Okay, we get that. And we also get the service animals that are used by the military and law enforcement for explosive work and for drug work. I mean, they're working dogs. You know, they're working dogs. But I don't understand when, as a society, people needed to start carrying around hedgehogs or octopi as service animals. And you, please explain this to me, because honestly, I'm lost. I mean, it seems to me that if you are so freaked out about life that you got to have your service turtle with you everywhere you go, that maybe flying might not be the way you want to go. I don't understand it. At some point, when did we give up on alcohol and switch to service animals?
We've seen what it could do with people with post-traumatic stress. The idea of caring for something, there's a whole new way to open up relationships and deal with it puts you back into the time when you were needed, and it psychologically, we've seen the studies. It does amazing things. Old people in nursing homes, you know, we see people, they stop caring, they're out there and their health declines, and then all of a sudden someone brings an animal in and it's like they're alive again. They have a purpose to live. There's meaning in their life. This is what the entire program is based around. If you find that meaning with a sea turtle, then go to where the sea turtles swim. But you're not bringing that on a Southwest flight to Orlando.
But see, where I get lost, David, and I love animals, and I've got a long and documented history of loving animals. in fact, a very unfortunate incident in my youth in peanut butter. No, but I have... Just kidding. But no, maybe. But long story short, though, David, is... I get it. Having a pet, having a cat, a dog, I mean, hell, even a turtle or a pet what? Rabbit, I get it. But the bottom line, David, is they're animals. And is it really necessary that people bring their dog or their cat or their goat into Wegmans or Tops or Aldi's or wherever as a service animal? I mean, they can't be apart from their emotional support animal for an hour. I mean, that's a level of dependency that I think it transcends what we would consider normal.
Again, there are legitimate individuals there who, if you notice, usually the dogs are in working outfits and they... they're not there to be touched or there to get sympathy. They're not there to be cute. They're there to do a purpose and a job. And then there's other folks that evidently didn't read the pamphlet because they're just, you know, their entire purpose is to like meet chicks with like cool animals. It almost seems like, what are you doing? You know what I mean? You're bringing your, and then it's always a crazy animal. It's like, you know, it's my comfort peacock.
My comfort boa constrictor.
Exactly. This is the animal. It's a Burmese python, and it squeezes me into, you know, like, I don't understand it. And honestly, they're screwing up a lot for a lot of people that genuinely depend on these animals. Because Delta, there's four different airlines that have already changed their policy. There's a very, you know, a viral video of a deaf couple and a guy like punched the service Great Dane, right? The person allegedly attacked a deaf couple, and the couple couldn't hear. They're deaf, and they had a service Great Dane. Well, the guy was like, listen, no offense, but your Great Dane's
testicles
were in my wife's face. You know what I'm saying? It's a large dog. It's a small plane. We ordered our tickets late and sat in the back. We weren't aware that the baggage...
When we asked for a tea bag from the flight attendant, that's not quite where we were going with that.
He said all bags should go in the overhead compartment. No, but so the woman's allergic to dogs. And I'm sorry, but... when you go to a service dog academy, they're not going to traditionally they don't give you English Mastiffs and Great Danes, right? There's a certain type of dog that they give you because of the accessibility and the health and the size and the upkeep. Why would you get a Shetland pony? And why would you decide to bring that Shetland pony on? Yeah, it makes you feel better. A lot of things make you feel better on a flight that you can't do because you're on a flight, dude.
Yeah, there's some things I'd like to bring with me on a plane, but I couldn't get them through TSA, so that ain't going to happen.
But the point is, I just think if you're outside of a border collie, or you know, and you're going with a really big dog, or you're going with like, you know, a starfish or something ridiculous, you
serve a starfish.
You need to be stopped. Someone who didn't love you needs to step in and say, "Hey, here's the deal. You're being ridiculous, and you're really ruining it for a lot of people who served honorably and are really decent people that need this. You're ruining it for everyone."
Okay, but the people with whom you served who have service animals, what percentage are service dogs?
100%.
100% are service dogs. And these, your guys and ladies, do they absolutely, positively need that animal with them 24/7?
I don't know. I mean, honestly, I don't have any guys. I serve with people that have service dogs. But I don't have anyone in like my inner circle to ask, you know, those types of questions. I don't think it's a matter of like, if I'm not with the dog, I'm going to go into, you know, I'm not going to be able to function. But obviously they want that dog, you know, working when they're out in public and whatnot.
Right. So we want to hear from people with service animals. And we also, have you seen anybody on a flight or at a store with a service animal that you thought was just highly inappropriate? So you're going to have to educate me at least on this, because again, when I grew up, it was seeing eye dogs. That was the only service animal there was. And then, well, actually there were also law enforcement canines. They've been around for a long time.
This is from The Independent. We're going to go through a list of all of the service animals that have been kicked off planes in the last 5 years. You're not going to believe the type of animals people are trying to pass off as service animals, like a pig. A service pig. Shut up.
Well, pigs come in all sizes. Are we talking potbelly, you know, the teeny tiny miniature pig, or are we talking about the 700-pound sows?
Well, it was disruptive as it was. Watch what this pig did on a flight.
Well, yeah, I mean, I'm sorry, but, you know, when I think about being on a plane and seeing the rear end of a pig or a goat, there's one thing that you learn very early about pigs and goats, and that is that they're very unpredictable and very seldom do they wear diapers. And they don't clean up after themselves. It is 20 minutes after 4 at News Radio. I mean, little nuggets everywhere. It's 4:20 at News Radio 930 WBEN. Service animals, have we gone over the edge? Your good, bad, and ugly service animal tales, no pun intended. So have service animals or emotional support animals gone too far? We want to hear that list, David, but Ricky in Tonawanda wants to chime in on this. And from what we're reading on the screen, it looks, Ricky, like you've had maybe a bad experience or two with somebody in a service animal.
Not really. I haven't really had a bad experience, but there's too many places online that you can go and just type in some information and get a card sent to you saying, "Hey, here's your service animal." Like, I'm a veteran. I'm a veterans representative. I do claims and stuff for veterans, so I'm dealing with veterans all the time. A bunch of my friends are veterans that have service animals. And
you're the perfect guy we want to talk to.
Yeah, like,
I mean, so you're telling me right now, Ricky, and thank you for your service, by the way, you're going to tell me right now that there are people that legitimately need these, and then there are people that are doing it for the wrong reason.
Oh, yeah, most definitely. Like, the VA hospital, you have to have special credentials for your animal to be a service animal to go into the VA hospital. They let other service animals in, like therapy dogs and stuff like that, but you have to understand that there's different kinds of service dogs. There are therapy dogs. They go to, like, old folks' homes and stuff like that just to, like, brighten up their day. But then there's the dogs that are working dogs that are there that aren't supposed to be petted. They're there for if, like, a PTSD episode comes up or...
Right, and they're supposed to be there to calm down the person, comfort them, and all that good stuff.
Exactly.
But you got doctors that are, like, just prescribing animals to people. Like, this one woman was flying from Charlotte to Asheville, North Carolina. That has got to be, I don't know, a 45-minute flight.
Yeah.
And she had to bring on her duck. And the name of the duck was Daniel Turducken Stinkerbutt.
Yes.
And she got hit by a taxi cab in 2013. The shrink gave her a PTSD animal. She chose to name him Mr. Stinkerbutt and takes this duck And the duck is the largest duck I've ever seen in my life. And she takes the duck everywhere, and it's like her comfort duck. Like, that's the type of person I want to hit her with a cat.
Okay, this sounds absurd to me. I'm sorry. It sounds absolutely absurd.
And then Ricky is over there doing his job, and he's got to be like, yeah, you got a service duck.
Well, the thing is like, the vet rep at NU actually has a service dog, I think, and then he also has a service parrot. Like, his parrot is awesome. His parrot will sit there.
I'm sure it is awesome, but we're making a mockery of the entire... I mean, I can get you the coolest ferret in the world, and I can get him to fight and, like, Voltron form one big giant ferret. It doesn't matter, man.
Okay,
we're veterans of the United States military. Let's show a little bit of grace here.
Can I
be... We've got dogs. They're service dogs. Stop with the other animals.
Can I be the guy who asks the question in an era where we have an increasing awareness of PTSD? And there are approved medications to deal with PTSD. Why not medications? Why service animals?
Well, another thing with the veterans is veterans are getting over medicated.
That's right. Yeah.
So if you can have a dog that's going to calm you down instead of a pill that's going
to
ruin your...
No one wants to be on these meds, right? Right.
For your kidneys and all that other stuff, why not let them have a dog?
Ricky, you're literally the best person we could have on the line right now.
But
he's literally answering all of these questions from his own experience and working, and it's so true. It's like, well, if you don't want to be on all these drugs, you know, and a dog can handle it, that's great. But there's always got to be some smart ass who's got to be like, well, if you let my dog, what about my gerbil?
Well, I'm kind of curious about the service parrot situation he just brought up. If you want to hold on, please feel free. I'd like to hear. I'd be worried the parrot would mock me and everything I say. It's just going to learn and shoot right back at me. We will be back. Bowerly and Bellavia. Service animals. Have the emotional service animals gone too far? Whether you have one or have had a weird experience with somebody with a service turkey or something, let us know. And frankly, I think that turkey on Klein Road was in need of a service human. Last I heard, that turkey was put into some kind of turkey rehab.
Who let the dogs out?
Who?
It's Bowerly and Bellavia.
By the way, we want to wish Sean Murphy a very, very happy birthday. He's 14 years old today.
Which makes him 2 years more mature than I.
No, he's 25 years old, and he's had a birthday, and we want to wish Sean a very happy birthday.
So
he won't say thank you because he doesn't have a microphone.
We are asking you guys about service animals. We want to hear from people with service animals. And has anybody had a disturbing, unpleasant experience with somebody else's alleged service animal? And by the way, when I said service turkey before, I was just like thinking of an animal and pulling it out of my arse. And there's actually an article. I put it up on the Bowerly and Bellavia Facebook page showing a picture of somebody with their supposed service turkey.
We got Daniel Turducken Stinkerbutt, who is the
service duck.
Service duck. You got a service pig that was on a U.S. Airways flight in 2014. The Dalmatian that was so tall, it put its paws on the overhead baggage compartment, which is a pretty large. There's always the service cat, the service monkey. We've seen a service turkey, which actually sat in business class, achieving more mileage than the turkeys.
Then it got offered a Visa card.
And the horse, the service, a blind woman in Jacksonville, Florida, began using a miniature horse after losing two guide dogs to old age. And the horse, called Confetti, was photographed at JFK Airport.
Okay, can I ask just a stupid question? Confetti. Just a stupid question. What happened to the idea of...
service wolves?
Well, service coyotes didn't fare very well with the service turkeys. I mean, you know, when worlds collide. But just a question here that I have to ask. How about what we used to call back in the old days friends? That we're replacing human companionship and friends, spouses or significant others, with service ducks? Doesn't that seem a little messed up?
Well, again, these are the people that are ruining it for, you know, the vast majority. But I've been able to see just, you know, guys with dogs, there is something unconditional, you know, especially if you've got like a lot of guilt, survivor's guilt, or you are the only survivor of a situation you lost. And these, when you're losing guys, you know, in combat, these are guys that are like, everything is traumatic. Nothing is natural. There's no natural cause deaths in a combat zone. 19-year-old kids, 20-year-old kids, and you walk out of it, you need unconditional love from one, you know, source. And if that source can be a dog, that's awesome, or a pet of any. But the idea that, like, a duck or a turkey, come on. You can't even snuggle with a turkey. There's no personality to a turkey.
But I disagree about the personality thing. But, I mean, my point is, like an animal, even a dog, is still, at the end of the day, not a fur baby. It's a dog. It is a canine, okay? my cat, I love her, but she is an animal. She is a feline, okay? With a human being, I can engage in conversation. If I am feeling particularly happy or particularly depressed, a human being can offer human insight into the human condition. A turkey, a service snake, even a service dog is unable to offer the kind of companionship and interaction a human being can offer. Isn't somebody better off with a human being?
But again, I don't know if there's a position that, you know, out if you don't have a spouse or you don't have a sibling. What, is the VA going to just hire someone to be with you 24/7? If you're a person, there's other people out there that lost their legs, that are blind, that they're going to need that care. If you can knock it out with a dog and that veteran or that person is better off for it, having gone through that trauma, I don't have a problem with that. But these are idiots. These service pig people have literally ruined it, because now there's all these rules with these animals that there weren't before. Now you've got to do all this crazy stuff. But also, you know, there are also folks that see a service dog and automatically want to rub its belly.
Which, if it's a working dog, you're not supposed to touch working dogs. No. They're not there for you to pet.
Right. Yeah. How narcissistic are we as a culture to think that dog is there to make your travels better?
All right.
I carry this dog around me just to make people using this as a stopover from Cleveland to smile.
Should businesses and or stores tighten up policies on service animals, in particular emotional support animals? And let's get back to Ricky in Tonawanda. Ricky, you know, one of the things that concerns me about people being invested in, let's say, even a service dog is... you know, unfortunately, dogs have an average lifespan. It depends on the breed, but typically you're looking at 10 to 14 quality years out of a dog. And I would imagine that if somebody has that kind of emotion invested into a canine, when it is time to euthanize, the effect on the person who has been so dependent on that animal has got to be traumatizing, and that person is going to have to go through it five or six times, depending on how long the patient survives.
Yeah, most definitely. I mean, like, I've got three dogs myself, and they're all big dogs. And whenever one of them or one of the cats in the house or somebody that die, I go through the same thing. But the thing you were saying about, like, having a person instead of an animal, sometimes you just need to tell your story and not get anything back. You just need that look that says, yeah, I understand, it sucks. You don't need somebody that's going to, like, judge you or anything like that, because your dog's not going to judge you. Your dog's going to listen. Your dog's going to give you the comfort that you want.
And it's really about the comfort of the individual at the end of the day, right?
Most definitely.
But is there any, I mean, I don't know if you know the answer to this, Ricky, but is there any evidence that a service dog is any more effective for somebody with PTSD than somebody who is a psychotherapist or a licensed psychologist or psychiatrist who is supposed to listen with unconditional positive regard?
Yeah, most definitely. Like I said, I know a couple of people that have service animals, and you can't always go see your therapist if you need to see somebody. You can always have your dog there.
Right, but let's be honest. The dog isn't treating anyone. I mean, stop acting as if these people are not going to therapists, they're going to dogs. The dogs, you know what I'm saying? I don't want to give the wrong impression. My dog told me.
Your dogs give you that comfort that you need until you can get to your therapist.
Exactly. But the other thing, Ricky, is that it's working. I mean, whether or not people understand it, it's working, it's effective. But now you've got all these jackasses running around with, you know, Shetland ponies.
But here's where I see a contradiction. Because in our society, we're used to dogs. We are used to cats. We're not so used to Shetland ponies. So if somebody is getting the same benefit from their pot-bellied pig as somebody else gets from a dog, on what basis can we argue that that individual who gets the pig support is any less valid than the person who gets the canine support?
If you want to step in all those soft Tylenol pills that are now in the first class section of the flight to New York, have at it, man. A pig goes the bathroom. It is a mess.
Yeah, and a pig doesn't, like, dogs have a sense to where they connect with the person that they're with. My dogs know if I'm sick. My dogs know if I don't feel good. My dogs know if...
I think dogs are kosher, too.
No. And dogs are semi... not obedient. What's the word I'm looking for? Civilized, I guess? Because they...
domesticated?
Yeah, right.
Domesticated. That's the word I was looking for.
Yeah. You're not going to take a pig inside the house.
Yeah, you can't really domesticate a pig.
People do, though.
Enough to where you can put in a kennel and have it defecate in the kennel instead of your kitchen floor, but...
That's disgusting. Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. All these pigs and ducks... By the way, you don't want birds either. They're a great way... If you got kids and you got a duck that's, like, going to the bathroom, it's a great way to just spread every disease known to man.
Yeah. All right, Ricky, thank you. We got to move on to some other folks. We're glad you called in. 803-0930, *930, 1-800-616-WBEN. And, you know, the idea of a parrot on your shoulder always sounds really cool, but how do I say this delicately? You start getting into our avian
parrot
friends and... You know, the expression crap, like crap through a goose, it kind of applies to parakeets and canaries and parrots as well. They've got a very fast metabolism, I think, and can't think of a better way to wreck a suit. All right, let's get to Debbie in Colden on WBEN. Have we taken service animals too far? Has it gotten out of hand?
Well, yes, it has, in terms of the emotional support animals. And let me just preface this by saying that I am a big dog lover. I have a wonderful Labrador Retriever who is a volunteer in the SPCA Paws for Love program. And there's over 400 dogs and a few cats in that program. But this is the story. My friend was flying back to Buffalo from San Francisco after Christmas, and next to her was a couple, and they had two emotional support dogs. Now, you can understand one, but not two. And the whole thing is a scam, because if the dog is emotional support, then they can't be charged. If they're not, then the airline charges them something like $125 each way. So everything would have been fine, but the dog, a Pekingese, they were both Pekingese dogs, little ones, bit my friend. And really, seriously, blood was pouring out of her.
Yeah, that's not cool.
And
sometimes getting bit by a smaller dog could be worse.
Yes, and my friend, who was a dog lover herself, but will never fly on a plane again with a dog on the plane because
she was attacked by one.
Yes, and the flight attendant, someone gave her a towel. The blood is pouring out, and then the flight attendant brought some vodka to
sterilize it.
Yes, yes, yes.
Wow.
And then
charged $6, but it had to be in cash.
Right.
Well, and then my friend had to sit for the remainder of the flight. It was going San Francisco to Chicago, and she was then changing in Chicago. She had to sit next to the people with this, you know, dog who just had bit her. And when she got to Chicago, the airline wanted her to go to the hospital. But, of course, you know, she would have missed her flight to Buffalo. She didn't know anyone in Chicago, so she said no. But as soon as she got to Buffalo, she went to the hospital here, and she got several shots, antibiotics.
Well, yeah, Debbie,
hold on. I'm taking that dog with me.
Yeah, hold on if you would, because we've got to take a break. Is the whole idea of service animals, has it gotten out of hand? Emotional support animals out of hand? Have you had good, bad, ugly experiences with other people's service animals? And here we've got a situation where Debbie's friend was bitten by a Pekingese. And
that dog's coming with me. There's no way I'm going to let a dog that bites me out of my sight.
Hey, when I got bit by my own cat, the half crazy one, the half feral one, my hand swelled up like a big balloon, man. I was at the urgent care center getting my antibiotics and everything else. I was in a state of shock. I was gushing blood and everything else.
It bit me
down to the bone.
But the whole idea, though, that your dog that you're walking around in public with just bit someone. I'm sorry, you got to be accountable for that.
Service animals, have they absolutely gotten out of hand? Emotional support animals. I honestly don't get it. I guess I just don't, because as close as you are to your dog, it's pretty hard to have a conversation with the dog. You can talk to the dog and talk to the cat, but you know, there's a lot of times where my cat will meow, and I think I know what she wants, but I'm not sure because I don't speak cat. I have much better conversations with humans than I do with animals, and that's not to say that animals are stupid, and different meows can mean different things, but you know, hey, especially when it comes time where you've got to euthanize your pet, you wish you could talk to your pet, but you can't. You got to read the signals and read the signs and, you know, try to figure out, oh, my God, do I do it today? Do I wait a day? And honestly, I think it's better to do it a day too early than a day too late, but that's just me. Here's Debbie in Colden again at WBEN. Her friend was actually bitten and gushed blood because a Pekingese alleged service dog bit her friend en route from California. What, they touched down in Chicago, then the woman went from Chicago to Buffalo and immediately went to the hospital for treatment.
Yes, and I think we need to make a clear distinction between service dogs who go through extensive training and have a specific purpose, i.e. C&I dogs, dog for the deaf, dog for maybe post-traumatic stress syndrome, and the emotional support dogs who really go through no training. And you can go online and you can get a letter from a MD saying that you, who the person has never, you know, seen before, need this emotional support dog. And then, or cat, or parrot, or whatever else, and then you can bring the dog into the cabin and not have any charges for it. I mean, that's why people are doing it, that they want to fly with the animal for free. And it would be not too bad if the animal were trained and not, you know, attacking people and doing various other things that they do.
I've never seen a service Pekingese. That's not the breed.
Well, no. It was an emotional support.
Right.
But the fact that she had two.
I thought it was a couple with two.
No, yeah.
Yeah, but again, that's there to me, that's abusing the whole point of it.
All right, Debbie, thank you very much. And, you know, a properly trained service dog would not attack somebody. I've never heard of somebody seeing eye dog, you know, mauling some innocent person. I've never heard of that.
Or another dog either.
No, they're very meticulously trained.
Not Bowerly a service member.
Well, it is Bowerly and David can say this. Bowerly and Bellavia on News Radio 930 WBEN.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly.